Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, man. How you doing, Drisky?
I'm doing good, sir. What's happening, man?
Good day. Good day. What are you working on?
I am working on a nurse friend of mine who's asking about the various applications of a certain medication.
Uh-huh.
Who texted me this lengthy text, as people are wont to do.
Sounds like a boring TV show, man.
It's beyond boring.
What TV show are you working on?
I'm working on a show. One of the things I'm working on, three things I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
One is a show, remember the TV show House?
Mm-hmm.
A reality version of that where I just kick crap out of medical.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of moving along. I'm writing a script about a show about psychedelics. Which is interesting.
The script.
Clinical use of psychedelics, which is something that's actually becoming very hot and very relevant, very controversial and interesting. It's just an interesting territory.
Oh, are we just going back and revisiting a lot of this stuff?
In a way, in a sense, these medicines were used before they were rendered illegal in ways that was looking increasingly encouraging. People like Cary Grant had psychedelic psychotherapy.
Really?
And the documentary that's out on Netflix or Amazon now talks about how powerful it was for him. And, of course, you've heard a little buzzing about PTSD and MDMA. And I thought, people don't expect me to be advocating on behalf of stuff like this, but I absolutely am. I don't believe in the idea that they're good and bad molecules. That's bizarre to me. They're molecules, and humans have a relationship with them. And some of the good things, sometimes not so good things. Sometimes the relationship gets out of hand. That's all, period. And sometimes you want to change that, and sometimes you don't. Anyway, so I'm writing with a friend of mine that is a very good writer, a script about that. And then the other thing I'm working on, a little documentary about opiates and the epidemic as I lived it. Because I lived through it, man. I know exactly what happened because I was there. And it's not being told at all properly. It drives me insane how they're telling the story. There's addicted babies, Adam. There's addicted people. You understand? Every 3 out of 5 babies, they're on heroin. I finally got a pediatrician in line. I go, hey, back in the day when we used to deliver addicted babies, we'd give them some Paragoric, and that was the end of it.
And Is that acid?
No, it's like an anti-diarrheal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, we give them dilute morphine now. And I go, yeah, that's Paragoric. Same thing. And I go, and there's no sequelae, right? And he goes, no, nothing happens. I go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're addicted to opiates, and then they go home. They have an addicted mom. That's a problem.
Right.
But the baby delivered on opiates is not a big deal. It's not zero. I'm not going to say it's a zero thing, but it's not the way they're making it. Addicted babies. Oh, my God. And it has no effect on their addiction risk later.
You know, it's weird. I don't know. I think of you all the time. You tell me what your take is on this. Every once in a blue moon, I just skim past Entertainment Tonight, and they have the story, and it's like Maureen McCormick, Marsha from the Brady Bunch, talks about her struggle with cocaine. And it's like, first off, I remember she was selling a book, and she came on my radio show, and she was talking to me about her struggle with cocaine. But it didn't seem like much of a struggle with cocaine. It seemed like more like she was selling a book.
Yeah. And also, by the way, I think alcohol is her primary drug anyway.
Oh. And I said to her, I remember I had this funny thing. I said to her, geez, living in, and she said, I lived up in the Hollywood Hills, up in Laurel Hills or something like that. And I said, I was kind of doing the math. And I said, geez, right around the Wonderland murders and John Holmes and all that stuff that was all taking place back then. You know, and if you're deep into the cocaine world, did you know any of those guys or did you buy from any of those guys? And she was like, who? I was like, John Holmes. He's like, who's that?
Oh.
I was like, the Wonderland murders. She's like, what's that? And I thought, you weren't that. You couldn't have been that deep into this world if you were up in Hollywood and you're up in the hills and you were in the midst of the coke and this was all going down.
Yeah.
I was living down in North Hollywood and not in the coke, and I knew all about this stuff. But it's back now, but she's been sober for 35 years. Well, sober from cocaine.
Ah.
All I'm saying is this... Do people do this to sell books?
Yes.
Or like, what? Yes. And cocaine is just sexier than...
Yeah, also, it sounds like somebody doesn't really get recovery, probably. Just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Guessing.
All right.
So I don't know, Maureen. I haven't read the books, but I'm just by that brush, as you painted it, I'm guessing that the recovery piece, not fully intact, as we say, not fully filled out.
All right. Someone's got a question about me brushing my teeth regularly. Let's talk to Bobby, 36, San Diego. Bobby.
Hey, guys. Adam, I was wondering if your kind of laissez-faire approach to, like, bodily hygiene extended to your teeth.
No, not so much.
Wash your hair.
No,
I don't.
You didn't
see a dentist for 20 years.
Yeah, I didn't have insurance or anything. I don't use shampoo. I don't use soap. I don't wash my hair.
I don't even think about your – I'm going to call you on your logic. How much of dental cleaning and follow and regular visits is covered by insurance?
I don't know.
Zero.
I didn't have any money, and I didn't have any modality for anything. It's just I just lived.
Your parents didn't teach you how to do that and go twice a year, and they never got you in that routine of health care and dental care.
My mom had some thoughts about it. My mom's version of...
Probably about what's the oils you have to...
No, she wanted you to use baking soda instead of toothpaste because,
You
know, Crest had formaldehyde in it or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever fakakta thing she had thought of. No, here's what I meant. My parents had two versions of caring. My dad was completely laissez-faire. I don't think I've ever talked to my dad about hygiene or teeth or floss or, you know, savings accounts or, you know, college or, you know, 401ks or investments or real estate. I've never talked to him about anything. My mom would make these proclamations like, hey, you got to take care of your teeth. And then she'd go back in the house. Like, she wouldn't say, you know, here's the dentist, here's the cleaning I've set up or whatever.
Yeah.
And no, life takes a certain amount of learning. You need a certain amount of learning, like
modeling behavior, habit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I never discussed that or learned that or whatever, but it's the same way with like checking accounts and managing money and doing homework and paying parking bills and
everything.
Paying gas bills and
sort
of being on top of life.
Yeah.
And the thing that where I come from and where a lot of my friends come from, every ticket went to warrant.
That's hysterical.
Every tooth turned into a cavity. Everything went to, you know, the gas would get shut off. Everyone paid their electric bill in person by going down to Van Nuys and waiting in line and handing them a check, you know. Like, it was all paying cash, you know. Like, that's the world. Because their parents had no template for any of this stuff.
And we've talked about Gavin Newsom and the check cashing organizations. Would your friends use that with their whatever salaries they received? If you were the carpet cleaning company and they gave you a check, would you have been inclined to use those organizations?
No. The check cashing places, I believe, you know, Gavin Newsom and his ilk would like to say these people don't have access to checking accounts. I do not believe the word I believe access is being used incorrectly. They don't avail themselves of it.
They don't have the education, is not even the right word. The learning, like you're using that word now.
Well, no, it's partly that.
Yeah.
And then it's partly that, especially you take California, you take Los Angeles. Go down to the Coliseum and watch a Rams game. You will see not 10 guys pushing shopping carts with propane tanks and cooking hot dogs on it. You'll see 80 guys doing that. Taxes are giving away, taxes are giving away 40% of your money.
Yeah.
If you can avoid giving away 40% of your money and instead get charged 9% by the check cashing place, well, that's a math you'll do.
Oh, so you're saying they don't open checking accounts, they don't want to be tracked.
Here's what I believe.
That's interesting.
I believe a few things. And I'm not even, it's not a conspiracy and it's not nefarious. Los Angeles has an underground economy. Yep. It has a large group of
involves bacon, hot dogs, flowers, and fruit.
Yeah. There's a large group of Hispanics, mainly Hispanics.
I think the rest of the country knows this.
Okay, well, you people should know.
Yeah.
There's a large group, mainly Hispanic, in Los Angeles who would...
I've never seen a non-Hispanic pushing one of these carts.
Yes.
Have you?
That's what I'm saying, mainly. Okay. Who would prefer to sort of travel under the radar.
Yeah.
And if they go out... and they build a masonry cement block wall for the Smith family, and at the end of the week, they're handed a check for $800 from the Smith family. I don't believe that they want to go into the Bank of Washington or the U of A and have that go on record as their income. I think they would much prefer save the taxes, potentially taxes, go to the predatory check cashing place, not have the questions asked, get the cash, and deal with life that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so there, I'm not saying when Gavin Newsom says half the black and Hispanic people who live in Los Angeles don't have access to checking accounts, well, of course he's lying. It's not half as insane. The Los Angeles is half Hispanic. Are you saying one quarter of Los Angeles doesn't have access? And by the way, please think about how you use the word access. If the Hobby Lobby says, hey, we're Christian and we don't pay for birth control, that's not them denying you access to birth control. That's them not paying for your birth control. The same way I'm sure they don't pay for Subway sandwiches during lunch breaks, but that's not them denying access to lunch. That's if you choose, you can go to Subway and buy your own lunch. So call it what you like or disagree with it what you like, but let's call it what it is. They're not denying access. That is blocking. Nobody's blocking these people. I suspect a fair number of these people use these check cashing places because they prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Not as a necessity because they walked in to the Bank of Washington and the blue-eyed devil said, wait a minute, you look Hispanic. You get out of here. Take your check. It's no good here. No, it's not that. It's that they choose to use this. Now, there's a certain percentage.
It makes me wonder if the bank lobby or something is behind Gavin Newsom because they'd rather that money come into the bank.
Oh, I'm sure whatever it is, Gavin doesn't care about black people and brown people. That much I know. So he's lying, but a certain percentage prefer this and would prefer, and to be quite honest, paying 50% in taxes, it sounds pretty attractive to me, too.
It sounds like good business.
It sounds like good business is what it sounds like to me.
Illegal, but they may...
I will grant Gavin Nitt this, that there's a very small percentage of, I don't think black and brown people, I'm just going to go with brown people, because black people are born here, they have access to getting driver's licenses and things like that. So I don't know why he included black people, but there's a very small group of brown people who do not have a driver's license and who do not have ID and are here illegally, who do have to rely on those places because they don't have the proper ID, I imagine.
I wonder why the energy around these places. Is there criminal stuff circulated through these organizations too, do you think? So people launder or whatever? Is that another reason to want to shut them down?
Well, what Gavin would never say is the criminals are the people that are hammering the checks and never paying taxes.
That's a kind of criminal, yes.
Yeah, well, he's not interested in that kind of criminality.
Yeah.
He'd rather you pay your fair share, Drew.
Right.
He's a hero, don't you know?
Yeah.
Okay. My point is this, Drew.
Yeah.
No, it is what happens. Here's what happens. I got a loan to buy a very expensive race car. I got a loan for $2.5 million. Guess who gets gouged on that loan from a percentage standpoint? Me. You want to know why?
Why?
Because there are not that many people. Because guess who's in the position of power here?
The loaner.
Right.
The guy with the money.
Right. When you're trying to get a loan for a condo in the Valley, there might be 30 other mortgage companies that are
right.
vying for your business.
This competition.
When you're trying to buy a supercar, there's a couple of games in town, and they know it. And you pay a premium. That's the way life works. And when you are a high-risk client, meaning I got a check, I got no ID, it's a personal check from the Smith family, you go in to cash that check at a place, that's a high-risk
exchange.
Yeah, that's not yeah. you getting your thing from, it's not your pay stub from IKEA and
right.
you're coming in with three forms of ID.
Right.
That's low risk.
Right.
And
you're
thus,
walking out with cash. They're handing you cash.
And thus, you are paying for that risk. That's what I'm not sure that Gavin understands. He wants to know why the percentage is so high.
Right.
Because the risk is high.
Here's where you limit your risk.
Yeah.
Simply Safe, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You want to limit that risk. I understand why you might put it off. This sales people you have to deal with is contracts, expensive installations. I mean, I can understand the resistance, but why now? There should be no resistance with Simply Safe. You can get the best protection so easily. All you have to do is get Simply Safe home security system. It is top of the line protection without a long-term contract, no hidden fees. And we have 10% off with Simply Safe with an I, SIMPLISafe.com/Adam2. That's not the number two, but the word two. So it's ADAMTWO, SimplySafe.com/Adam2, and you'll get 10% off in addition. And you order it online, you set it up in an hour, or you can go to Best Buy and just take it off the shelf and again set it up in an hour. Or Adam says you get a drone to deliver it, however you want to do it. That's all fine.
Smart, easy, fast.
Yeah.
Way to go.
You put it up and it goes with you if you sell your house or you move or your apartment, whatever. And you get that 10% off at simplysafe.com/AdamTWO or get it at your local Best Buy.
All right. Got to let me hop to the top. Hey, Steve, 40, Long Island.
Hey, hey, Drew. How are you today?
Hey, now.
Good. How you doing?
Good. I got a kid recently diagnosed with dyslexia. We've been going through the system to get her into get some help at school. It's not working, so she's a little behind. So we decided to put her in this high-end school. We want to, you know, her to stay there to address her problem. But we also want her, you know, we can't carry the nut on this. Now, we're going to the state, see if they can help us out. But, you know, I'm not holding out any hope. What do you think? Is there anything at home I can do to help her?
Yeah, I do believe so.
Well, is there anything you can do to help her?
Well, no, I mean, like, any suggestions you might have or any, you know, what would... from a doctor's perspective, yeah, obviously reading with her, the whole routine of just getting into...
I'm not sure. Listen, you need to get people who are highly trained in dealing with dyslexia, find out exactly what the manifestations are.
Well, how much dyslexia does she have?
Get a treatment plan and see if you can actualize some of it on your own. But you need, you know, a written plan. So, and there's different ways of managing these things. It's not like, oh, just we'll read
right.
Harry
no,
Potter.
I mean, we're going through it. We sent her to an Orton Gillingham. I guess that's a type
how
of
old
training.
How old is she?
She's 8. Excuse me, 9.
I got the cure.
Put her in pottery?
Hit me.
Yeah. Ceramics?
Hey, Gary, who do we have from American Ninja Warrior the other day on a ACS?
Jesse Graff?
Jesse Graff. I was talking to Jesse Graff. Wonderful female athlete. Yeah. I was telling her about how much I loved standing up on the yoga ball, how that engaged a core, getting up on the yoga ball.
Yeah.
Then she sent me a tweet where she said, thanks, I forgot about the drills she used to do. Where she's standing on the yoga ball. She's got a small like handball, volleyball.
Yeah.
She's throwing it against a springboard that's up on its edge and it's bounced back. So it's just, she's standing on this yoga ball and she's bouncing the ball back, the ball back. That'll cure your daughter of dyslexia.
What?
You get her on that yoga ball. Trust me. Trust me, I know everything. You get her standing on that yoga ball, and she can do it.
Orders of letters and words.
It's going to help.
It's gonna. It couldn't hurt. Couldn't hurt.
You get her stand on that yoga ball, and you get her throwing that ball back at the bounce. You take the mini tramp, you put it up on its edge, and you just keep bouncing it back.
Well, here's what Thank I like you. About that is that that will improve attentional mechanisms.
Oh,
and to the extent that
I will cure her, Steve.
To the extent that there's any attentional issues, that could be helpful. But you need to get the written plan from this group, and you know, really tell them you're having trouble maintaining.
I'm turning your mic.
All right. You're having trouble maintaining her at these schools that are costly. Oh, there's the picture of her. Oh, I see. Like a she sprung it off a like a trampoline.
That's exactly what I said.
Springboard, you said. Springboard.
Well, then I said mini tramp or whatever. Okay. But yes, she's bouncing the ball. I don't know. Okay.
I'm just saying.
She's standing on it. She's bouncing the ball back to her, and she's standing on it.
Yep.
And that's what I'm going to start doing.
That's a cool deal.
And if Steve would do it, his daughter would be cured. All right.
Anyway,
do it with your daughter.
Get a plan. One of my sons had some issues with reading, and you need the kids' engagement. That was the part that I was so grateful for, is that he really engaged in the process. He wanted to get better, and he did. It was like, you know, became a defining moment for him in his life. He still remembers it.
Boring.
Fourth grade. No. It's like what you would like.
Yeah, boring.
No, it's grit.
Yeah. Matt, 35,
hey,
Missouri.
Hey, Drew.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the question is more for Dr. Drew. I mean, I guess Adam, you can probably chime in on this because, you'll see in a minute. But I've been losing energy. I'm very active. I've been active my whole life in sports and things like that. I'm 35, going to be 36 soon. I got a pretty serious neck injury a few months ago. Had to go to physical therapy. I mean, messed up my arm to where I had to, like, rebuild the muscle back up. But so I'm wondering, is I really didn't feel that lack of energy until that happened. Are these things connected, or is it just me just getting older?
It's not getting older. You're still young. Are you on any medication?
No.
Nothing. Zero.
No, I do, you know, jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and stuff like Muay Thai and stuff like that a couple times a week.
I understand. Are you on any medication? No Tylenol, no anything. Zero. Vitamins, anything. All right.
Nothing. I take nothing.
All right. Are you sleeping okay? Did this neck injury disrupt your sleep?
It doesn't now, but what originally happened was I didn't go to the doctor for a long time because for like 3 or 4 nights, I slept for like 2 hours a night. I just figured eventually it'll just kind of go away, and ended up not being so. The only way I can explain it is if you were to take your shoulder and put it on your ear, you know, like drop your head like that. That's kind of my arm was stuck almost in that position.
Yeah. So you're sleeping normally now?
Now I'm sleeping
I would still go back to the doctor and have some basic blood work done. It's not normal to, quote, lose energy at your age.
Drew, can I say this, though? I feel like looking back on my life, and yes, when you get older, it starts to drop off, but you're not old enough yet. There's an ebb and a flow. Like, I've had seasons where I've been, like, kind of dragging and kind of low energy, and then put together a few months where I was like, I felt vibrant and alive, you know, and then back to, like, kind of fighting
it. Is this more recent experience?
No, I mean, just in my life, I have had – I could remember – now, part of this was – much of it was hating my job, but, I mean, I could remember being – 24 and driving to work just going like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Like, I'm so tired. Like, I can't. And it was weird. It's weird when you have a construction job because you don't have to imagine yourself making it to the office and hitting your cubicle. You have to imagine yourself climbing a ladder and carrying plywood up to the roof. You know, like, you go like, I don't feel like I can get out of my truck. Yeah. How am I going to be stacking plywood all day? Like, it's just weird. Now, a lot of that's psychological, but what I'm saying is doesn't a body, you know, and he's had an injury and that, you know, deal with the injury. But what I'm saying is, do you feel like there's an ebb and a flow? Like, if you could chart out your life on a graph, you'd see lots of energy and nine.
Yeah,
some of it would be sleep and some would be depression
mood,
or your girlfriend dropped you and now it's low energy.
Absolutely. Those would be the big three, I would say, that would be contributing to that. But, you know, if there's a significant – when people talk about fatigue, it's always worth checking it out just to make sure there's not something untoward going on.
Hey, Tim, 36, Chicago. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, different. Wait, who did we just talk to?
Matt,
yeah,
Matt,
there, go ahead.
Tim.
Sorry,
yeah,
go
I'm
ahead,
here,
Tim.
Guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I had, first of all, I want to thank you for all of taking all the calls and helping everybody out. I called in about 6 years ago, Adam, and spoke to you, and that's when Alec Baldwin cut me off, and forever, you bring it up, or I bring it up to you every time I see you. So.
Yeah,
thanks.
Baldwin.
What did he do? Why?
He just called in. And we had a choice between then 30-year-old Tim from Chicago.
I see.
Hey, I'm coming, not as you hear this, but as we speak, I'm coming out there on Saturday to the theater there, Park West, if you want to come say hi and thank me for all
sure.
my hard work.
Exactly.
Now, yeah, so go ahead, Tim.
So my I'm now engaged. My fiance has just lost her grandma, who she's really close to, and... In the time while her grandmother was sick, she was getting more and more sad, sleeping 10, 12 hours a night, just pretty morose. And I want to know what's, you know, now that her grandmother's passed, is there a way that I can easily suggest going to speak with a therapist or counselor or something along those lines rather than just chatting with me?
I'm not sure she needs to necessarily, right? You understand that grieving is a normal process. What sense do you think this is abnormal?
How long has it been?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, that's a good question. So her grandmother had been deteriorating. She was, you know, 93 years old, so it wasn't like it was necessarily a surprise. But she's just been getting more and more sad. She's been drinking more. And
oh, well, that's a different. The drinking more is a different thing.
Yeah,
that's not going to help.
Taking it out on me while drinking.
Ah, that's a different story. Okay, how much she drinking every night?
She will say that she had two drinks, but she's poured them herself, so she pours them pretty heavily.
What's she drinking?
And, vodka, you know, with vodka soda or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so this is starting to escalate.
Yeah, and how long has it been since Grandma died?
She actually just passed yesterday, but this has been going on for a few weeks. But I was just curious. Yeah.
All right. I would, you know, a few weeks would be normal. A few months even would be normal. But if it's, you know, 6-8 weeks down the line, this is still going along or heading in a bad direction, then just be very direct. Just go, look, grief is normal, but you're going the wrong direction here. And the alcohol is not helping. Maybe we ought to try something different. That's all. Just be very direct. You don't have to walk on eggshells around people. You're trying to help. And if you get righteous indignation, by the way, that's the alcoholic's favorite move. It's like, hey, I care about you. You're being funny. You're actually being comical to react to my care with righteous indignation. Come on now.
It works on chicks every time. Does she have a job? Does she have a schedule?
Yes. She works good hours, but she works from home most of the time. She travels a little bit for her job, but yeah, it's a good corporate job.
Okay. I have found, you know, whether it's going to work or going to the gym or going to wherever, boy, the devil makes work for idle hands. There's no truer ism than that. The getting up, getting out, having a schedule, having stuff laid out in front of you, sort of no time.
Yeah.
And I believe, especially when you weave in alcohol and the internet, people can go down that rabbit hole pretty fast these days.
Yeah.
In the past, you sort of sit around and like, well, should I smoke a pipe or should I whittle? And you're like, screw it, I'm leaving.
I'm going fishing.
I'm going. It's hot. It's hot in here. Now it's got the air conditioning blowing, and you have 500 million channels on TV and the internet, and you can go down that rabbit hole pretty fast.
Yeah.
All right. I will tell you. Well, speaking of finding a good job, how about ZipRecruiter, man? It's tough out there to find the talent you need for your business. ZipRecruiter. Post your jobs to over 100 job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. Unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them.
That's right.
Over 80% of jobs posted get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls. Screen, rate, and manage candidates in one place with their easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADS and try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. All right. Friday, October 13th, me in Minneapolis at the Music Hall. Polk Theater, Nashville, Saturday, October 14th. Me and Dennis Prager, Brooklyn at the King's Theater. That's November 29th. Live shows all over the place, live podcasts all over the place. Go to AdamCarolla.com. October 5th, Irvine Improv. Always a great crowd out there. Go to Corolla Drinks. Get those buck slips. Get some merch, man. Drewski.
Merch. Go to Drew.com. Check out the family of pods we got there. Check it out.
Until next time, Santa Crow for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.